Welcome to another Cut Unload Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
We have to talk about the AFL Grand Final, mate.
Well, we have to because it just happened.
Yeah.
You can't not talk about the AFL Grand Final.
Oh, you know, the biggest game of the year in the MCG. Hang on, it wasn't at the
MCG. It was not in there. No. That's a good thing to talk about. It wasn't at the MCG. However, what about them taking a bit of MCG up there? Did you see that little?
Yeah.
What did you think of that? There was a lot of criticism from South Australia, which is expected because, you know, we're rivals, aren't we, with Victoria?
Yeah, but no, one of the things I've always disliked about the formation of the AFL is an expanded VFL. So the Victorians think they own the game, and there's a perfect example. They're not able to play it in their own state. So, hey, I got a good idea. Let's put some of the MCG in Brisbane so we can say it was on our turf. I mean, really?
And then they just put it was on the side. Yeah. So they spent, I think, over $10,000 to do it. I'm not sure if it was sponsored or AFL, but when they're sort of getting a big loan to get through the season, it seems like a bit of a waste of money, I thought. Something that really wasn't needed.
Very Victorian-centric. It doesn't matter if you're South Australian. It's just, it's craziness. I mean, really? If for argument's sake, we couldn't get the Adelaide test because of COVID or whatever, and they took our test away and give it to Melbourne or Brisbane or something, would we take the
with Adelaide Oval over?
Yeah,
there?
Would we?
Well, I wouldn't. I'd hope not.
No.
Hope not.
It's bad enough having two Victorian teams play in the grand final.
That is true, especially I would have liked to have seen Port Adelaide there, of course, and you would have loved to have seen the Crows, but they had no chance. So who were you going for this? Like it was
Richmond.
I was going for Geelong.
Well, I saw Richmond in 17. I went over there. My son-in-law's a big Crows supporter, so I shouted and we went over to the grand final. And to be honest, I really admired the way Richmond played. Dustin Martin and some of the other players they have, like they have Shane Edwards, which is Greg Edwards' son. Greg Edwards used to play for Central, so Century goal kicker, yeah. So, yeah, Richmond, kind of, although, you know, I really admire Gary Ablett Jr. and Senior, but I really admire him, and look, that admiration hasn't dwindled because of his performance on in the grand final, because what he did after being injured early in the game was just magnificent. Some of the magic he sort of did, even though he's only had one arm.
I know, doing his shoulder very early on, and you thought, wow, that's going to make a big difference. But he came back on, and you could see he was in a lot of pain. But late in the game, that little sort of inside-out handball was just unbelievable. It just shows, I mean, I guess there was a few firsts, being a night game, being not in Victoria, but I guess there's also some lasts, and Gary Ablett playing his last game. But it wasn't a great send-off, wasn't it? Wasn't it lovely that both teams, like Richmond, obviously his own, but Richmond lined up, and the crowd really appreciated it. So they're nice opportunities for someone who's been such a massive part of the game, and one of the best players, probably you could arguably one of the best players ever to have played AFL, to get that type of sentence.
Has there ever been a better father-son combination playing in the AFL VFL?
Well, you're a historian. Like on the night they were saying that this is the best, there hasn't been. But do you think, can you think of, I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but I'm not the historian. But
well, Hayden Button and Hayden Button Senior were very good, but they were before our time. I remember watching Hayden Button Junior out here in South Australia, but his father won three Brownlow medals and Sandover medals, and Hayden Button Junior won a Sandover medal, which is Western Australia's equivalent to the McGarry medal. And, you know, when you look at Foss Williams and his sons and that, but I think because of the piece of magic that Gary Ablett Sr. had with his goal kicking and what Gary Ablett Jr. does for football, it's on display week in, week out over the last 10-odd years. You know, I can't remember a father-son combination being better at that level.
Well, it's that mercurial stuff, isn't it? That sort of magic that they were both capable of, which, of course, people love to see. Like I said, that sort of little handball that he gave, I don't know how he even did it when you watched the replay multiple times. But they're the things that people remember, and I think that's why they probably will, at least current history, go down as the best father and son combination.
Now, let's set the scene. It was, what, 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes into the game, and Gary Ablett took that little fall, which dislocated his shoulder, and he had to go off. And in the same play, just a little bit further on, I think it was Patrick Dangerfield went up and smacked Nick Vlaston.
Yeah, Boston.
Boston, and he went off concussed. So
he did not come back on.
No, but that happened in the first 5 minutes.
No, it was just like, wow, it was all happening. And even prior to that, the rain during the day, like the weather, there was talk of maybe having to cancel the GF and put it on later. But they came out firing, and that first quarter was a ripper. Like, that was just a hard first quarter. That's what you want in grand finals. But yeah, Richmond, you think we're in trouble. Vlaston was out. They got a couple of other injuries, but they were okay. They came back on. Ablett, of course, went off. And then what about the ovation he had when he came back on? Oh, yeah. That was amazing, wasn't it?
It sent shivers up your spine.
But in that first quarter, I mean, 2-2, Geelong, 2-1, Richmond. It was really, I think this is going to be a great game. But you almost thought, hang on, Richmond are in trouble here because they've lost a few players. They've got a few injuries. Geelong seemed to be firing, and then they came out in that second quarter and really 5-5 to 3-2. They really dominated. Richmond got a goal late.
Yeah. Geelong were 22 points up, and the commentators were saying, we think this is it. We think
it'll be hard to catch.
Yeah, yeah. But then Mr. Magic stepped up, Dustin Martin. You know, how he kicked that goal, it was just like, I can't imagine anyone else being able to kick that goal. He was sort of like, he had two opponents between him and the goals, and he was only like about a foot in front of them. How he managed to hook that ball back so sharply and through the middle of the goals, I couldn't believe it.
No, it's amazing. My mum's a Geelong supporter, and so I thought I'll go for Geelong. But he's a real heartbreaker, isn't he? In that his ability to be able to do that in big games, but that was a real goal against the Tide. And like I said, it was just amazing. People just can't seem to tackle him.
No.
Like, he just seems to have that ability to stay on his feet, keep his balance, and know where the goals are. And that was just, it was unbelievable.
Well, that goal, and I'll pinpoint later two other goals, were the equal three goals of the game. We'll talk about that a little bit later. They came in the last quarter. But the way Richmond came out in the third quarter and sort of fought back, but interestingly enough, Patrick Dangerfield was left up forward. And when Dustin Martin started to have an ascendancy in the middle, I would have put Patrick Dangerfield into the middle to sort of curb that influence, but they left him up forward.
They did, and there was obviously criticism after the game and even during the game of Chris Scott. It's easy for people to criticise, isn't it? But, we don't know the situation. Part of what I saw in an interview was that they had talked about it and they both agreed that he would stay up forward. But they did make a change coming into the last quarter, and he did start in the middle. But I think by then it was a bit late because he didn't really have a big impact. I mean, he worked very, very hard. And there was one situation when he ran so hard to put pressure on the defender kicking out, and he just pushed him just as he kicked, and one of the Geelong players, I can't remember his name, but marked the ball, and he played on really quickly and missed.
Oh, and you think, fun, yeah.
Wow. They're the things that make a difference in a grand final. But, I mean, Dangerfield's intensity and effort were sort of, they were on show all night, weren't they?
Well, that third quarter turned the game, in my opinion. Richmond scored four goals and held Geelong to just a single goal, which came early in the quarter.
And the body language, like we were, my wife and I were watching it, just seemed Richmond's body language, if I read that correctly, they were just up and about. Like they were, and whereas Geelong just seemed frustrated, they were making mistakes, they were fumbling, they weren't clean with the ball. They see them, they're dropping their heads. You think, hang on a minute, you guys are in front, but it looks like you're behind. And Geelong just kept coming like a steam train. They just, you could just see the change. I mean, look at that second half, 9-7. And I mean, in the end, they broke them, didn't they?
Yeah.
But 9-7 to 2-3 in the second half.
One huge highlight of the third quarter, and it was by someone you least expect, to take it. And that was that big mark. I mean, how he managed Cameron Guthrie, how he got up that high to take that mark, it sort of, it helped put a a signature on the grand final, you've got to have highlights, and that would be the mark of the game.
It was a big mark, wasn't it?
Yeah, I loved it.
But didn't do enough in the end.
No.
Didn't make the difference.
No.
It's those goals, kicking, and that's the thing, like, it was obviously wet ground and hard to stay in, but that's the, like, Richmond just seemed to stay on their feet better. They looked dangerous all the time, didn't they? Whereas Geelong just seemed to me, I don't know, again, I'm not the greatest critic of football or coaching football, but it just seemed that they were on the ground a lot, they were misusing the ball a lot, where Richmond just seemed to use the ball better all night.
I think Richmond were better prepared in the sense of I think they had longer sprigs and they were better prepared for the ground conditions, because a lot of Geelong players were slipping early and you could see them going off changing their sprigs. I don't know if that's a fact or not, but that's how it appeared to me.
Well, they showed some footage earlier in the day, and the oval, you think there's no way they can play on that ground. Like, it was, like, drenched, and you could see just sheets of water all over it. But obviously that oval drains really well, or whatever they do to prepare it, because, like, when they actually came to play, you think, wow, how can they actually get the ground looking so good after so much rain? But, yeah, it was obviously a tough wet grand final.
We'll talk about the last quarter a little bit here, and Dusty Martin, when he sort of broke that tackle and he wobbled that ball through, bounced it through from 50 metres, it sort of, like, it was just a piece of magic. It was just unbelievable. You wouldn't think he'd kick a better one, but he did. Late in the game, the two Geelong defenders were going to handball to each other. How he managed to come between them and grab the ball and then kick a goal from there, I couldn't believe it.
And it's just like it's meant to be.
Yeah.
And you think, how many of those, if you looked at goals like that over a year, most of them would miss. Like, the balls, you think, okay, he's kicked it from 50, it's flat, it's like it's rolling towards the goals. How many roll away, miss? But his, and you're just like, they're not going to miss. Like, those four goals, and all in sort of similar circumstances, nothing, just under pressure, like defenders all over you, it just seems to find that space and put the ball where it needs to be.
And how many goal assists did he have as well? He
was nine. Nine goal. Like, he was involved in nine goal, like,
unbelievable
scoring opportunities.
Yeah, he was like, I said to, I was watching the game with my wife, and I said to her in the second quarter, I said, you see the little things that Dusty Martin's doing? If he keeps them up, Richmond will win, and he'll win the Norm Smith medal. And that's the third one he's won.
First time in history.
Yeah. We have to go back to, as a Hawthorn player back in the day, and Andrew McLeod for the Adelaide Crows won it back-to-back. So I think this is the second time that a player's won it back-to-back in regards to 1920. But, of course, Richmond won the premiership in 17 as well when they beat the Crows, and they only missed out in 18 when they lost to Collingwood in the preliminary final, and Collingwood went on and lost to West Coast by a point in the grand final. So Richmond have got a little bit of a feel of the old Brisbane Lions of the early part of this century, from 2001 to 2004. They won the first three and then lost to Port Adelaide. They're looking a little bit like that, aren't they?
They are. There's this talk of a dynasty. And three out of four would certainly be a good reason to talk about that. But Damien Hardwick, so what do you, I mean,
they were going to sack him.
I know, that's what I was going to say. It was just five years ago. But interesting at the time, and I think we have talked about this before, the players were all coming out then. The players obviously love him. Like, he's the type of guy that gets, and you can see that, can't you? I don't know, you just look at them as a team and the way they get together and the way they talk. And again, I'm not saying this just to stir you up, but I really like the way that the Port Adelaide players this year also talked, and the coach talked. It wasn't made up stuff. It seemed real, and they really play for each other. But Richmond are the same. Like, you can just see that they play for each other. They back each other 100%. Like, when Riewoldt kicked that goal, like, he had a minimal impact but got a few late. But the whole group just came to him. Like, it was, I mean, and you just see I just love the way, I mean, I was going for Geelong, and don't get me wrong, I wanted Geelong to win, but you just can't help but appreciate the way they go about their footy, Richmond.
Well, when you look at Richmond, and you said Riewoldt didn't have much impact. He kicked a couple and he missed one or two, and they have Tom Lynch. They have those two focuses up forward, which makes it a little bit easier for a Dusty Martin to come through there and create some space, whereas that's a little bit of the role that Ablett may be playing, but of course he was restricted. And then you had Dangerfield. So they've only really got Tom Hawkins, who really didn't have the best game. I think he missed a couple of fairly reasonable, easily shot. So I think that's where the difference was in winning and losing the game, that Dusty Martin stood out, whereas Dangerfield was restricted and Ablett was restricted through injury. And I think Leewald and Lynch, you can't let them go. So I think that's where Dusty Martin plays his best footy, because he's a part of the machine that Richmond is. He's just part of it, and he probably can't play as brilliantly if it wasn't for those other guys.
Yeah, certainly having those focal points makes a big difference, because, you know, I mean, you don't really see much anymore where, I mean, every now and then a big forward will get sort of hold the ball and take plenty of marks, contested marks, but it seems to be now it's so tightly contested, and the defence do such a good job, often the ball's brought to ground. So if you're that type of player, and he was just on the march the whole time, he was hitting that ball really hard and making a big difference.
Well, congratulations, Dusty Martin. Congratulations, Richmond. So ends another Carlin Sports show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.